that. I'm not saying I'm better than Duncan, but I think you ironed all the bugs out for me, Duncan. That's fantastic. Thank you. So, good morning. So my name's Ian Livingston. I'm an asset manager for Equinor's low carbon solutions business unit. Most people probably know by now, you'll have seen me here last year and the year before and the year before. It's becoming a running theme, right? But Equinor are a broad energy company with an ambition to be a leader in the energy transition. So Equinor are a Norwegian, partially state-owned energy company. And just to give you a flavour of how important the Humber is to us, for anybody that's not from Equinor, you won't recognise the people in this, the backs of people's heads on this diagram. But the guy in the centre with the orange lanyard is our CEO, Anders Opendal, the CEO of Equinor corporately. So last year we managed to bring not just Anders, but the whole board, including the non-execs, to Salt End, to the top of Triton, to look at the plans that we have here in the Humber, to really cement that this is a place where we want to be doing our business, if you like. Okay, so Norwegian Energy Company, what we'd like to do is use our skills and competence to really drive the energy transition. So, you know, people will know us as an oil and gas producer, perhaps, which started in 1972 for us. But we've been in low carbon solutions since we started capturing and storing CO2 at our Sleipner field in Norway. So, and I know you'll have heard this before, but CO2 capture and storage is not a new thing. The technology is not something that needs proving up. It's these kind of market mechanisms that really hold things back at the moment. We're also a significant player in the renewables industry, particularly offshore wind. So we are the joint developer of Dogger Bank, the world's largest offshore wind farm that was referenced by a couple of people earlier on. Some of the power from multiple phases of Dogger Bank lands in Teesside, but a good proportion of it lands here in the Humber. So if you've had minor road disruptions as you've been driving around the East Yorkshire roads, that's probably one of our cables coming through to the major substation where that power lands at Creek Beck and the final phase, Birkhill Wood, which is just next to Creek Beck for anybody that knows it. So corporate target or corporate ambition is to be net zero by 2050. We've got some nearer term goals than that. And of course, our major products at the moment are oil and natural gas. So we've got nearer term targets about reducing the net carbon intensity of that natural gas and oil. And we do that through the deployment of carbon capture and storage and finding ways to use our products and turn them into low carbon feedstocks. In the UK, I won't go through these in detail, we'll zoom in on the Humber, but it's fair to say that we've got a range of activities that probably nobody really would have heard of Equinor until Rosebank. So Rosebank's our new oil field development off the coast of Shetland, and is of course drawing a lot of attention from some of the NGOs and protest groups that don't want to see oil extracted. So we see that still fits in our portfolio as we transition to net zero on that 2050 timeline. Rosebank will bring kind of a good level of energy security to the UK by producing that stuff domestically. Wider than that, offshore wind, High Wind Scotland, which is one of the first floating offshore wind farms, Dogger Bank and Dudgeon and Sheringham Shoal. We've got some battery storage projects starting to come online. And then really the area of the business that I work in is this low carbon solutions space. So carbon capture and storage, and purposes of this presentation today really focused on what we're doing in hydrogen here in the UK. So the wider East Coast area, if you like, so between Humber and Teesside, Jonathan mentioned earlier, Will mentioned this kind of Northern Endurance Partnership and the East Coast Cluster, which is the CO2 transport and storage system which joins Humber and Teesside. I do think there's a couple of guys from NEPI in the room, potentially. If there are, I'd love to catch up with them later on. So that project is really kind of interesting. The Teesside leg of that project is in detailed negotiations with government at the moment, hoping to take a financial investment decision round about September this year. So we've got our fingers and toes crossed that if there is a change of government come the 4th of July, that high up on their priority list is kind of making sure that they understand the need for us to take financial investment decisions in this project and the capture projects that connect to it, including our net zero Teesside power plant that we're developing with BP and Teesside. So if we focus in a bit more on the Humber, we've got a range of projects right across the hydrogen value chain. I'll touch on a few of them in a moment, but on this diagram, I suppose, I just wanted to focus on a couple of projects that are in the west of the region, so around Keadby, where we've got a sort of low-carbon power hub with our partners SSE. So at Keadby, Keadby 2 is an SSE-operated power station that was commissioned last year. It's Europe's most efficient natural gas turbine. Keadby 3, or Keadby CCS as we call it, is a carbon capture power station. And then we follow that with Keadby 4, snappily titled, which will be a 100% hydrogen power station. First of a kind at that size and scale in the world. Now, to do hydrogen power at that size and scale, or hydrogen to power at that size and scale, takes a huge amount of infrastructure. So you need hydrogen storage, hydrogen production, and hydrogen transport, as well as the power station itself. So it's a really big value chain for us to try and lift, but we're committed to doing that with our partners, SSE. So just zooming a little bit kind of closer to the sort of Hull and East Yorkshire sort of area, and a lot of our hydrogen projects are focused in this region, and I suppose really what we're trying to do here is create a mini hydrogen ecosystem that we think is a kind of a manageable scale to be able to really, not demonstrate, but show the world that we can do this kind of integrated hydrogen value chain. So combination of production, storage, transport, and of course, the people that use that hydrogen, the off-takers or the customers for that hydrogen. So from a production perspective, we've got our H2H Salt End blue hydrogen project that Will referenced in his talk earlier on. That project was supported through the Zero Carbon Humber Industrial Decarbonisation Challenge project with UKRI, and we're very thankful to Will and the UKRI team for providing the grant funding that has helped us mature that project to where it is today. That project was able to achieve a lump sum turnkey EPC contract ready to go as soon as we've got access or have sight of access of CO2 transport and storage connections for that project in the Humber. So originally, timeline was 2026. The Humber wasn't selected to move forward in the first wave of those CO2 deployments. Teesside was selected to go first. What we understand at the moment is that government intend to launch a track one expansion process later this year, or at some point this year, or at least the current government did. with a view to having projects commissioned and connected to CO2 transport and storage around about 2030. And that's both track one expansion and track two, so both ECC and Viking have that potential. So, you know, good sizable amount of hydrogen production. And Jonathan mentioned this narrative earlier about actually decarbonizing products, because that's what people use that then generates the carbon. So H2H Salt End is sat at the chemicals park to help decarbonize all of the chemicals that park produces. Those chemicals then go into plastics and paints and all of the things that we all use every day. You know, this kind of, you look around this room and it will be touched by chemicals that have originated, not just at Salt End, but at chemicals parks like Salt End around the country and around the globe. So that project is aimed at fuel switching industrial customers and providing hydrogen for feedstock to decarbonize products. At Salt End, we also jointly own the Triton Power Station with our partners SSE, and we'll be looking to do an initial fuel switch of that power station to get to a blend of hydrogen and natural gas. To do a full-scale power station like Triton, you need a lot more hydrogen than a 600 megawatt plant can provide. So, initially prove out the path to decarbonisation of power, as well as this decarbonisation of products. Then if we move to Easington, so with our partners Centrica, we have now a developing portfolio of projects around Easington that we call H2H Easington, potential for circa gigawatt levels of both blue and green hydrogen production. And we start that journey with a H2 electrolyzer at Easington that we're now waiting with bated breath from government on the feedback as to whether that's been successful. So Centrica are talking later on today. I'm sure they'll mention it, but great to have another partnership now going in the Humber, as well as our long-term partnership with SSE. So H2H Salt End, we've talked about quite a lot, pretty picture. This project could be reality. We just need access to that CO2 transport and storage system. The final project I'll touch on is Aldbrough Hydrogen Storage. So when you're trying to lift a hydrogen value chain, you've got to be able to balance supply and demand. And unlike the natural gas system, with green hydrogen production, we've got intermittent production, we've got intermittent use in power, we've got stable production in blue and stable use in industry. And you've got to be able to juggle and balance all of those different operational needs. Storage is the way that we do that. So Aldbrough Hydrogen Storage, we're developing up to 9 salt caverns immediately adjacent to the existing natural gas storage facility at Aldbrough. What you see here on the image, the kind of trees that border the site, they're actually physically there. That's not an artist's representation, because the original intent was to have a second phase of the natural gas storage site. So we're just reusing that site that was intended for natural gas, building out some new caverns and using that to store hydrogen at scale. So this project, alongside the hydrogen transport system that will connect it to both Salt End and Easington and wider connections into National Gas's Project Union and the East Coast Hydrogen System, is kind of aimed at the government's hydrogen storage and transport business model allocation processes that will launch, fingers crossed, later this year, with an aim for that to be online and operational by 2032, supporting the rest of the hydrogen economy. And it's important to note that this has to allow third-party access. So it's not just for our projects, it's for the industry, right? So we're out there in the market talking to other prospective customers. If we haven't spoken to you yet and you want to talk to us about getting access to hydrogen storage, feel free to reach out or get my contact details from Eric and the guys here at Foresight, and we'd love to have a conversation with you. Thank you. I'll leave it there.